Pray with me. God, get us out of our own way, that we would hear your word for us on this day. God, make it a word of challenge or a word of comfort, or a little bit of both, whatever it is we need, that we would be free to follow it out into the world, loving and serving you alone. God, open our hearts and minds and stir within us. Help us forget anything that isn't part of your purpose, that doesn't rest in your love. God, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 14. You can follow along on page 77 of the New Testament of your pew Bibles. Let us listen to the word of God. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guest chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I get this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for confirming what high school Hannah already knew. If you go on a date and you really like them, and you really want to go on another date with them, the trick is to not call them. No calls, no text, no snaps, or in my day, no instant messages. Act uninterested. Play hard to get. Make them chase you. Likewise, if you want to climb that social ladder, position yourself in the sight line of the popular kids. Look cool enough. Have the right clothes, the right phone, the right laugh, and stay on the sideline. And then let them catch you in the corner of their eyes. Let them catch you looking lonely but worthy, and let them invite you in. You see, if you force yourself in, you only risk the inevitable kick back down the social ladder. But if you wait for the invite, well, you can only go up from there. And even now, professionally, we know how to make it seem like it was their idea to invite us up. Make sure they see your credentials, but don't overstate your interest, lest you seem too interested. And then, when the recognition or the promotion comes, it's, me? Really? Well, if you say so, oh my goodness, I would be honored, right? Who among us hasn't done this? Who hasn't feigned interest or used manipulation or offered false humility in order to climb in hopes of making it to the seat we really want? There are so many ways to secure our place at the table, my place at the table. There are so many ways to get to the distinguished seats, to be in our preferred company. And here, finally, Jesus is giving some shrewd advice about how to get there, right? Now, even high school Hannah knew this cannot be the case. This cannot possibly be the point of Jesus' parable. Because Jesus wasn't about social climbing or fake relationships. Jesus certainly wasn't about exclusive communities. Jesus was about truth and about mutual respect and secure, loving relationships. Jesus was about, in his own words, the lowly lifted up and the high humbled. Jesus was about a seat at the table for the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. So what is actually going on here? Well, it's a parable. I read something written by Nadia Boltz-Weber, a Lutheran preacher, this week. She put it this way: reading parables as advice for how to behave is like using riddles to get directions to the airport. It is an exhausting exercise that ultimately just does not work. So let's fight the temptation to read this as a prescriptive text about how to live. And instead, let's be free to read it as a descriptive text. Jesus is describing what he observes in this world. And Jesus is describing also what is surely coming in the kingdom of God. In this world. In this world, Jesus observes honor and value given based on things like gender and wealth and health and ability and credentials and race and whatever category we come up with to decide who is in and who is out. And in his own time, the seats of honor were reserved for Roman citizens and the religious elite who managed to win their favor. The seats of honor were for men and for folks who could pay it back, who had some sort of privilege and power to use for their own advantage and agenda. And the seats of honor, they were never for the outcast, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And it's not much different in our own time. Now the seats of honor are reserved for the wealthy and the well-educated and the charismatic and the ones with power and privilege enough to repay, enough to advance our own agendas. And the seats of honor, they are never reserved for the outcast, the poor, the crippled, the lame, or the blind. Those folks, they aren't even invited into the room, much less to the table. Like how now, right now, the Amazon is burning. And as it burns, the pockets of international corporations and national politicians are being lined. And there is no seat at the table for the indigenous people who are losing their land, or for the future generations who are inheriting our abuse of creation, or even for the animals who are dying by the thousands daily. I have to believe that Jesus would look at that. And Jesus would surely notice that there is no place at the table, that there is a place at the table for the ones with privilege and power, the ones who stand to make a profit, but there is no place at the table for the ones who have everything to lose. And it's the same, too, right now, with the national conversation on guns and gun violence. It is a conversation shaped by senators and lobbyists and news outlets, the folks with power and privilege who have something to gain. And there is little room at that table for the victims, for the children who are too afraid to go to school, for the women who fear their husbands. There is no room, little room, if any, at that table for the minorities whose lives are in the most danger, for the ones who have the most to lose. Or if you bring it even closer, Jesus might well ask us if we, the First Presbyterian Church of Cranberry, have created enough room at the table in our transition process. And in this mission study, will we collect the voices and the opinions of the ones we've hurt? Will we let our future be shaped by the ones our past pushed out? Or will we continue on with those of us who are already there and comfortable at the table? Will we make room at our own tables, our dinner for eight tables, and our homecoming picnic tables, and our communion table, most certainly our communion table? Will we make room for the ones who seemingly have nothing to offer and nothing to repay us? And to these observations, Jesus would lovingly, hopefully, with so much grace, offer a description of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, no person, no creature, no creation will be forgotten or, worse, used for the benefit of another. In the kingdom of God, no one will live in the shadow of fear. There will be no hate to harden hearts. In the kingdom of God, all will be redeemed, all will be forgiven, all will be reconciled. In the kingdom of God, all persons, all creatures, all creation will be honored and will be free to live the purposes to which God has called them. And together, all of creation will celebrate and give glory to God alone. In the kingdom of God, Jesus makes it plain. The seats of honor will be given to the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And we know this. Even if it upsets us, even if it makes us uncomfortable, and it should, even if it brings up some anger within us, we know this, and we are willing to work through it. Or rather, we are open to God's Spirit working in and through us to bring us more faithfully and more fully into the kingdom of God made known here and now. But here's the part I wonder if I'm really ready to hear. Here's the part I wonder if we are really ready to hear. Here's where the true transformation in Jesus' parable lies for you and I alike. In the kingdom of God, the seats of honor will be given to the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind might well include us. Jesus sees us. Jesus knows us. He knows that we are a broken people. He knows that we are a broken people no matter how well we hide it. He knows the games that we play to present our best selves to the world. Jesus looked around that first century dinner party and he saw religious leaders playing games, vying for an edge over one another. He saw how they cast themselves in the best light, all while keeping a watchful eye on anything or anyone that might disrupt the status quo, namely himself. And Jesus would look around this room too, if we're honest, and he would see the games we play too. He would see our Sunday best trying to earn God's love. He would see our curated Facebook pages and our Snapchat filters trying to pretend that it is all perfect. He would see the titles that we've collected trying to convince the world that we're worthy. He would see the lies that we have let ourselves believe. He would understand the mental gymnastics that we force ourselves to do to pretend that things are not the way they are. He would see the rules that we have created that make it at best uncomfortable for others to get close, if not downright impossible. And to all of this, he would offer this hope, this description of the kingdom of God with all mercy and grace. In the kingdom of God, you already have a seat at the table. There is nothing you can do to earn it. There is nothing you need to do to prove yourself worthy. Jesus invites the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, parts of us, to the table. Jesus frees us to step forward with the things that we are certain are useless. Jesus frees us to participate from our weaknesses, not from our strengths. Those parts of us that we know to be uncool, unworthy, those parts of us that seem unredeemable, that's the part Jesus wants. The part of us that has nothing to give back. Our empty places, our fears, our mistakes, and our pains. That's what Jesus welcomes. That's what Jesus calls to the table. We do not have to do anything to secure our place at the table in the kingdom of God. You can forget the games. You can free yourself of the pressure to do and be enough. And knowing this, and trusting this, this great good news, let us make more room for ourselves and for others, that God's will would be done and God's kingdom would come. Amen.